Once again, good morning. If you have had troubles hearing, and I'm not talking about Dennis now, but like really understanding, we know that our church, the design is not probably the best for acoustics, but we actually are changing that even this week. Mike actually got an email. I was at CC'd on it that the company that will change the speakers and allow us to improve our sound will start their work, I think, this Tuesday. So hopefully by next Sunday, you can hear better or just change your batteries. That was a joke, sorry. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning for so many things. And amongst them, we thank you for the word of God, for your word, actually, that was given to us, so we can know you, know your heart, and draw closer to you. We pray that this morning's message will speak to our hearts and draw us near to you and allow us to grow in our faith, so that when we leave this place, we can live for you in such a way that people can see your glory, not us, but you, Lord. May we decrease and you increase in our lives. And that because of your word that speaks to us. So I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Amen. We started a series in Genesis some weeks ago, maybe a month, actually more than a month now. And we've studied, we looked at actually the heart of God as he interacts with men from Genesis, from creation actually, through the Tower of Babel. And we saw the heart of a loving father, of the just father, of the gracious father, of the holy father. And last week we went to the next step in Genesis, which we looked at one person, Abraham, and his faith. And we talked about the growing faith of Abraham, the fact that God worked in his life and perfected him through his years, so that at the end of his life he was truly a man of faith, worthy of that chapter in Hebrews, chapter 11. And that was encouraging for me and for us, because sometimes I struggle with faith. I mean, I would not be honest, I'd say I always have this strong, burning faith that makes me move mountains. I mean, I have my days, but there are days when doubt comes. And days when I feel I failed God because I made the wrong choices, or I said the wrong things, or I just done something stupid. And the devil knows how to come with guilt and just burden us down. But last Sunday, I was encouraged, and I hope you were too, that my faith is growing. Our faith is growing. Today is Mother's Day, and I forgot my sermon. No. I mean, I probably can say it by heart, but anyway, it's Mother's Day, and it's, you know, if we want to live long and prosperous lives, we should better, you know, pay our respects to our mothers, and not ignore this awesome day. And God gave us this blessing sun, you know, blessed sun outside, nice weather, so we're enjoying this day fully. But I don't know, my mom passed away. It's been 6 years, 2012. It'll be 6 years this year, 5 years plus. And, you know, I still remember so many things that she taught and the way she influenced me. And I bet most of you guys do also. You know, we all have learned a lot from our mothers. You know, one thing that my mom was very strong on, and she kept, pouncing into my head was this: don't make the girl cry. And the girl was Anna, because she was adamant that I would be such a husband that my wife would not cry because of me. I didn't do that very well, but I'm working on it. But anyway, I will not forget this saying of my mom: "Don't make the girl cry." You know, my mom taught me through her example. We grew up in communist Romania. And my mom was a kid through the war. She cooked supă cu găluști. Cum spui asta? dumpling soup every Sunday for many years, because when she was 10 or 11, just about the end of the war, she worked as a servant, as a maid in the house of some rich people that could afford actually food. And she would cook or help with cooking for the Sunday meal, which was always this nice chicken dumpling soup, but she never got any. She just looked at it. And when she was able to cook her own food, she always cooked on Sunday. She cooked chicken dumpling soup, just as she remembered her childhood, and she couldn't touch it, you know. And so that's the kind of life my mom grew up with. And she endured patiently. She endured through difficulties. She endured through, you know, the hard times that we had back home back then. But she loved sacrificially. She taught me through her example how to love. And it's, I will always cherish these things, you know. Anyway, speaking of learning from mothers, I found this verse that I kind of always missed until this week. Proverbs 31:1, a hidden gem there. It says here, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So, you know, just talking about the influence of a mother, that whole chapter of Proverbs 31, it comes down because his mother taught him those words. Just a fun fact. Doesn't have anything to do with our sermon today, but just a fun fact. You know, so today, it's all about honoring mothers, all about learning from mothers, and especially from the godly ones, if you were fortunate to have a godly mother. Anyway, today I will preach from a passage that involves a mother. You see it? Oh, did I change that or did someone else change? Because that was good. Thank you, Alex. I forgot I put that on. It's a passage that involves a mother, but it's not a sermon just for mothers. It's not a sermon just about mothers. I will focus more about what makes a person an extraordinary person. What makes us shine in this world? And it's our faith in Christ Jesus. So we look at the mother today, but my prayer is that all of us can learn from this. You know, guys too. We need to learn too. So just pray that we open our hearts this morning and receive his teaching. But before we start, one word I would like to say too. For some of you, it's not an easy Sunday. And I fully understand that. You know, my heart is with you too. Some of you tried to be mothers, to become mothers, and God didn't seem to answer your prayers. Some of you feel like failures because as mothers, you didn't achieve or didn't raise the level that you thought or you think you should be at. And today is just another poke at your failure, that at least you're feeling us. Some of you suffer because your mothers were not maybe the perfect, most perfect mothers. Maybe you have a bad, negative experience back home. And some of us have lost our moms. And today we cannot just go somewhere and enjoy that awesome cooking of our mothers. You know, I feel that. I understand and my heart is with you too. You know, and I do pray that as we look into the scriptures, as we look at God's truth, I pray that you are inspired, ministered to, and encouraged to continue to trust God and his grace, his love and his power, despite any of the storms you might be going through. You know, as I prepared and thought about those that for whom this Sunday may not be an easy one, the verses of that old hymn from 1870-something came to my mind. It is well with my soul. I pray that it will be well with your soul today, for all of us actually. Not because of our circumstance or situation in life, but because of who God is. We could all say at the end, it is well with my soul. I love that hymn. But my favorite hymn is still the Old Rugged Cross. That's number one that I want to have at my funeral. Anyway, let's pray. I think we prayed, actually. Let's read the verses. It's Matthew 15, from 21 to 28. So if you can open your Bibles, click to your Bibles, swipe to your Bibles, whatever you have. Let's read from Matthew, not Mark. Sorry. New Bible, sticky pages. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer to her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Amen. An awesome passage. Actually, I was reading about 2 weeks ago, I was reading it at my devotions in the morning, and I said, that's it for Mother's Day. And I began to prep and study from this passage. And again, I pray that God will speak to all of us. Let's dive into the Word. What is the context? We're in Matthew 15. Christ is in about the middle of his ministry, and he's, like he said, he's focused on reaching out to the Jews. He deals with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the synagogues and the Jews, and he tries to bring them to understand the kingdom of God. Although he knew that they will reject him, he knew that, but still he had to preach about the kingdom of God to the Jews first. That's his ministry right now. He's not really interested into the Gentiles yet, although we know that he did reach out to the Gentiles in a special way. Think of John 4. Make a note if you want to read home John 4, when he said he had to go through Samaria, and he met a woman from Samaria there at the fountain, and he ministered to her, and not just her, but the whole village. So he was not ignoring the Gentiles. He just had a plan that would come step by step by step. So that was the ministry of Jesus. But also, before we talk about this woman, just a glimpse into the Jewish mentality about them and the Gentiles. This word Gentiles means whoever is not a Jew. Okay, so the word Gentiles, I think, comes from Latin. It means the nations. It's those who are not Jews. Okay, so God chose Israel through Abraham and said, "I will bless you, make you a nation, and give you a land." And the role was to become a light for the nations, so people can come, learn who God is, and worship God. And that was awesome. Awesome role for Israel, to be the lighthouse of God on earth. But out of that, guess what happened? They thought, "Oh, God chose us," which means God didn't choose you. Ha ha. We are better than you because God chose us and not you. So therefore, we are great and you are nothing. So they began to despise the nations. And they began to segregate more and more from the nations and not even allow them to come and worship God. If you ever ask yourselves, why did Christ get so angry at the temple that he had to actually take a whip and just chase them out with a whip and overturning the tables? Because that place of selling goods for the temple was placed in the what was called the court of Gentiles, the place where the Gentiles, the non-Jews, could come and worship God. And the Jews made that a bazaar, a selling place, a market, a flea market, whatever you want to call it. And Christ hated that. He hates when people are stopped from worshiping his Father. And I use the word hate in a sense of the biblical way, as to have a strong opposition to what comes against the very heart of God. You know, we say, this is and Bruce will probably tell me this later, it's a rabbit trail. We ever say that God does not hate anyone? True? Do you hear this? Like Christians say God is, Psalms 5 actually says that God hates those who work iniquity. That's another just rabbit trail. I'm going to stop here. I don't want to go and waste my time on this. Okay, so Besides, this was all saying, an old Greek saying of all things. A guy named Plato, a Greek philosopher, had this prayer. He was praying to his gods about being thankful that he was not a woman, a slave, or a beast. That was it. And the Jews seem to have the same type of prayer in their prayers, that they thanked God every morning that they were, I mean, the guys did, that they were not men, that they were not slaves, and that they were not Gentiles. You know, so all these three things, a woman, a slave, or a servant, if you want, or a Gentile, were hated. I know Jews were happy, you know, blessed that they were not a woman, a Gentile, or a slave. So that's the context. So in this context, here comes a Canaanite woman. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Some Bibles use the word Syrophoenician. Some other names come from for this lady. The Jews called everyone in that region of Syrophoenicia Canaanites. You know, so that's why Matthew uses this word here. Was she from Canaan or not? We don't know, but that's how the Jews called those people. But we know she was a woman, you know, strike one, and she was a Canaanite, strike two, if you know baseball. So this woman comes to Jesus, and she is asking for help. You know, imagine, first of all, who she was. A woman. The rabbis would actually walk on the other sidewalk, cross the street, just to not be too close to a woman. They would go detours of miles and miles, just not go through Samaria, to not be defiled by the presence of Gentiles. And now this woman, Gentile woman, comes to Christ with crying for help. So just imagine the barriers and the opposition that she faced, and still nothing stopped her from coming to Jesus. You know, nothing. That's the kind of faith, the faith of a mother, if you want, the faith that I want too. That I can look at all the things that might stop me from seeing God, but still I would go to Him and ask for help. I pray that we'll learn this kind of faith, and that nothing would stop us from coming to Jesus with our hurts and problems and burdens. Nothing. As a young Christian in the summer of 93, I remember so vividly that one day I did something stupid. I sinned. I forget what I did, but I know it was bad. For a Christian, at least. I don't know. I smoke, I swear. I forgot exactly what I did. But I stopped going to church. I had this tendency. The second I knew I was sinful, I would run away from God. Just like Adam. Just like Eve. But God is calling us when we do sin. He calls us to run to Him. To not let even our sins to stop us from coming to God. 1 John 1 chapter verses 7 through 9. They say that if we go to God with our sins, He is more than able to cleanse us of all the iniquity. That's why we need to feed our mind with the truth of God and not let our emotions take over, and let nothing stop us from going to Christ, even though the world may say, "You shouldn't. You ought not to. Why do you go there? Why do you do this? You're not worthy." You know what? No one is worthy to approach God. And that's why we have Jesus. That's why we have communion. The day when He died, that thick curtain that was in the temple, separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, broke in two as a sign of our free access before God. Even more, Hebrews says, it's not on the screen, but it says here, let us come boldly before the throne of God. And that boldness doesn't come because we're not sinful, that we are perfect. No, it comes because of Christ. So don't let any barriers stop you from going to Christ. The second thing, a crying heart. She says, she came. Sorry. She was crying these words, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." These first words, "Have mercy on me." They speak volumes. She wasn't asking for a right. She wasn't claiming a promise. She wasn't naming it and claiming it. She was just saying, Lord, have mercy on me. She understood who she was. She wasn't debating it. But she knew God was a merciful God. She knew that she was dealing with the Lord, Son of David. And if you don't know, that phrase, Son of David, meant Messiah, the one that was to come to set us all free. Reminiscent, if you want, of Isaiah 35, of the promise of God for those that struggle, that one day that struggle will be no more. And she knew that, and she was just crying before God. Have you cried before God lately? Have you shouted before Him with a broken heart, knowing that you deserve nothing, but knowing that He can still give you everything? That crying heart, that mother's heart, I want to have that heart. Not just for myself, but for those around me, to go before God and pray with such passion and based on what He is, not on what I am, knowing that I have an amazing, loving, gracious, holy, just, powerful God. A crying heart, I wish for that, you know, and that would lead me the truth of God. Have mercy, because He's a merciful God, and He is the Lord. First time in Matthew, Christ is called Lord, I think it's here. I could be wrong, but I think it's the first time He's called Lord. He is the Son of David, the truth. He is the Messiah. He is the one that is able and willing to bring about God's promises to us. But then what follows? The silence of Jesus. It says there, but He did not answer her a word. I had to actually sit down and just ponder for a couple hours on this, just few words here. And He did not answer her a word. Have you ever prayed, but nothing happened? Have you ever prayed with your kids, and your kids said, Mom, why are you praying? Because nothing is happening. And that kind of puts like a stab through your heart, because you want to make them understand and feel and know that God can and will and will work in His time. But sometimes you just don't know how to explain that. And sometimes the silence just overwhelms you. You know, as I pondered and prayed about this, just a few words, you know, I realized this was just Christ setting up a stage for a lesson for both the disciples who are watching all this and the woman herself. His silence spoke volumes in the end. You know, He was preparing their hearts to expect something. You know, silence of God does not mean abandonment, because God is silent sometimes, but that doesn't mean He forgot us or He abandoned us. It's just a different perspective that He has and we don't. And we wish we understood everything, but we don't sometimes, you know. And the fact that God seems to be silent, it's not because He forgot about us or He has abandoned us. He just has a different perspective. And that's when our faith has to step in and allow us to still trust Him, even if He doesn't speak to me today or even tomorrow. Even more opposition. You know, if the first barriers were not enough, a woman and a Canaanite, you know, coming to Christ as a rabbi, if even that was enough, more was to come. It says here, and His disciples came and begged Him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after you, after us. After Him, not us, but anyway. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, the attitude of the disciples, you know, oh, that she was just a nuisance to them, you know, as if she was following them. They say actually there, you know, she's crying after us. Was she? Was she saying, oh, Peter, she's not here. He would like, yeah, he would say here. Or John or Luke, or not Luke was not here yet, sorry, Matthew. No, she was crying for Jesus, but they took it all. She was bothering us. You know, that just bothered me, to be honest. You know, to see once again the human nature that probably I have too, that so easily gets bothered and annoyed by, or I think a fancy word I learned this week is aggravated by this woman, you know? And it's just, do we have that heart? I hope not, you know? And then even the words of Jesus. He said what? I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, so he basically says, woman, I ain't got nothing to do with you. You know, you're not my business. You know, it's wrong office, wrong door, just knock at the next door. Whatever. He meant, don't bother me no more. Again, I say, this was just a lesson for them, disciples, and for her. But the words just came as a hammer. You know, when I would go and say to God, Lord, please do this for me. I need this so much. And God says, not for you. It's for the other, guys. I'll be just devastated, you know, I'd hate it, you know, if God would respond like that to me. But we had something else here. We have a needing mother, a tough saying, and a bold response. Let's read the words. But she... But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. So we have here a strong, stubborn mother, which is good. It's stubbornness is actually, to my eyes, it's a quality. So if you have a stubborn kid, I actually see that as a quality. I call it perseverance sometimes. If it's against our will, it's stubbornness. If it's for something we like, it's perseverance. So they kind of share the same roots, stubbornness and perseverance. They're closely related. Just one has a negative, a rebellious streak to it. Anyway, reminds me of Churchill. You know, I like stuff from the old days. And one of the most powerful speeches that Churchill gave before the parliament in Britain was this we shall not surrender, we shall never surrender speech. Actually, it was called something else, but that's the phrase that stayed with me. When he said, we will fight them on the beaches, we'll fight them, whatever, we shall never surrender. And it was one of those impromptu speeches he gave, at which he worked for like 3 days, but he still called them impromptu. But it just shows that stubbornness of someone who knows that there must be a way. There will be a way. The eyes and the ears say, there's nothing we can do. When Churchill said those words, we shall never surrender, England just evacuated their armies from Dunkirk. And they were defeated in Europe. Germany was taken over most of Western Europe, and it was just growing. And Churchill said, we shall see victory. We shall never surrender. This woman, she was a Canaanite, and she was a woman talking to a rabbi, Jewish rabbi, so all the odds against her. Disciples are seeing as a nuisance, and they want her sent away, and Christ says, I got nothing to do with you. You're not my responsibility. And she never gave up. She knelt before God. She had the right heart. You know, she knew what she had to do. She persevered in her search for God's grace. She had the right attitude. As she comes before God, she says, I forgot my glasses in the office, but I have a large print Bible, so I'm trying to find. Okay. When Christ says, I have nothing to do with you, she says, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's feet. That was actually a saying in those days. Again, another saying, besides the first one that says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. That's a proverb. It's a Jewish proverb. It is not right to take the food from the kids and throw it to the dogs. It was like, why waste on something that was not worth anything and it's worth something for us? Let's not do that. And she knew that, and she still responded with faith. And she had the right attitude, the right heart, and the right position. She knelt before Christ. And that's just strength and perseverance and faith. She did not relent. She did not stop. She kept pushing and pushing and pushing. Was that wrong? You know, this is actually, even Jesus gives us a parable in the gospel, saying that there was this woman who was stubborn, and she knew that if she goes to the judge and keeps asking and asking and asking, in the end the judge will give her what she wanted. And Christ uses that to teach us how to pray persistently. Prayer with persistence, it's part of what God has commanded us. And this woman kind of exemplifies that through her persistence, despite all the barriers and the no and the go away and don't bother us. She kept praying. She had the right heart, the right attitude, the right position, kneeling before Christ and begging and asking for mercy and for help. She never stopped. And that's the awesome answer she gets at the end. I like the King James part. Great is thy faith. You know, that, actually, that's what stuck with me. It's not the more modern English. It's just, I guess I heard this a long time ago in King James and just stuck with me. Great is thy faith, O woman. Those sweet, sweet words. Let's read them again. Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be done unto you, or for you, as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. The lesson was finished. Christ just saw what he wanted to see in her. And I believe that this lesson was also for disciples, for them to see what God values, what God rewards, what kind of faith God responds to. Because don't forget, the disciples at this point were not the majestic heroes of faith. They were still struggling Jewish disciples, trying to figure out who Christ is and what their role is in the kingdom of God. So they still had lots of lessons to learn, and this is one of them. Faith, persistent faith, against all odds, faith, is something God responds to. Disciple had just witnessed something that will later impact their own ministry, but not just yet. It will take them time, like it takes us sometimes a long time, to figure out the scope of God's plan and the height and the width of God's love and grace. They still had issues with that. It would take them a few years to figure it out in the end, but they will. And this woman's strength, her faith was, this one's faith was strengthened. She came crying and begging, and she left. I bet she left with a huge smile on her face, knowing that victory was assured because of Christ, because of her persistence, because of her faith in the Lord, the Son of David, her Messiah. She doesn't call him Messiah, but that's what she meant by saying the Son of David. And what an amazing lesson for us too. You know, let's make this personal a bit. A mother's faith and what that means to each and every one of us. Never let barriers stop you from going to the Lord with your burdens. You know what? We play with a handicap. You know, if you know that, like in with the horses and everything, or like in Go, if you play the Japanese game of Go, we play with a handicap. We start from a less than perfect position because we have a sinful nature, we're selfish, we're burdened with our own problems, and we don't see God properly. And we feel that we don't have the proper act or the, let's see, we're not worthy enough to access his love and mercy and his grace. You know, I have that problem. I have to confess it. Sometimes I feel I have to earn God's grace. Can I ever do that? Can I ever earn God's grace? No, that's a free gift. Grace is for those who don't deserve it. It's a line from a song that just 2 years ago, I heard it in a song and just impacted my life in an amazing way. In 48, I've heard the gospel first time 25 years ago, and was only 2 years ago when this phrase just sunk from my brain to my heart. Grace is for those who don't deserve it. Don't let any barrier stop you from going to the Lord with your burdens. Be bold, be strong, be stubborn. If I can say that. Parents, don't blame it on me. If the kids get stubborn, it's not my fault. Expect opposition. That's a toughie. Expect opposition. Sometimes, even from those that follow him. Sometimes, even from those that follow him. Have you ever had like this fire for God to do something awesome for him, and then a good-hearted brother comes in, or sister, whatever, comes and says, no, he can't do. No, it's not possible. Why do you pray for that? It's useless. Just don't waste your time. You know, all those kinds of words just put water on your fire, just make you stop in your tracks and not try anymore. You know, opposition is real. And sometimes even good people with good intentions may stop you from something that's right. You know what? Expect opposition and don't be surprised by it, and just keep pushing. Make a note if you want to read 2 Kings 2nd chapter. Look at the interaction between Elisha and the school of prophets, or the other prophets, you know, his colleagues, his classmates. You know, look at how many times even the prophet Elijah tells him to stop. And then the school of prophets comes and mocks him, and he says, you'll see. You'll see my master today. You know, just look at Elisha and the school of prophets. Just take a note. 2 Kings, 2nd chapter. Just a fun chapter. Anyway, expect opposition. Third, have the right heart. You know, be humble. We heard that yesterday with the men's group. Be humble. Don't ever think that you're something through yourself, that you have strength or wisdom or brains or money or... No, be humble. Nothing you have will ever impress God except for your humbleness, your love for him, and your faith. Be humble. Have the right heart. Have the right attitude. Just go and kneel before him and say, Lord, you can do this. I don't deserve it, but you can still give it to me because you are gracious God. Have the right position. The kneeling part means nothing today because, I mean, we don't really do that anymore, do we? Except for maybe the question, you know, if you know what I mean. Did I kneel before you, Anna? I didn't. No, I was sitting on a bench, actually. we're both sitting. You know, we don't kneel anymore. But in those days, kneeling meant a total surrender to the authority of the one in front of you. A position of the body that was a symbol of your total submission, your total surrender to that person. When we kneel before God in prayer, or we say at least in songs that we kneel before him, it's about us surrendering to him and saying, Lord, you are Lord. I'm nothing if I don't abide in you. All I have that's worth anything, it's from you. So have the right attitude, the right position, and the right heart. I'm about to finish, don't won't be long. Let the truth, I should have said the truth of God, I missed that in the PowerPoint, be the strength of your request. Use the scripture to fuel your prayers. Use the Bible to guide your prayers before God. Learn from David, Solomon, from Peter, from Paul, from Jesus himself, and pray from the Word of God, inspired by God's Word, guided by God's Word. Let that truth be the strength of your request. One short example. I've struggled with anxiety my whole life. Some days a little bit, some days a lot, some days not at all. But I have had it for a long time, my whole life actually. My dad had it, anxiety. My daughter has it, I guess. When I feel those feelings coming over me, I go back to Psalms 27:1. It's personal. It's just me. It doesn't have anything to do with it. But I do go and claim those words. The Lord is my shepherd. Sorry, no, wrong Psalms. The Lord is my rock. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? That is a promise I go. That's the truth of God I use to fight the feelings that come against me. So let the word of God be the strength of your request. Be persistent. Be bold. Be stubborn. Don't give up. You know, be a church. Be a bulldog. Be, you know, bulldog as in they bite and don't let go. You know, don't bite people. Don't bite me at least. Be bold and be persistent. And in the end, remember, faith grows. You may not feel very faithful, faith-filled today. You may not have seen many answers to your prayers or the things you would like to see that God worked. Faith is not by seeing. Faith is trusting in God's truth, and faith grows. You know, tomorrow you have more faith than today, and that's awesome. It's an awesome promise that your faith grows just like Abraham. God works in your life day by day by day, allowing your faith to grow. As long as you persist, as long as you let God's truth be your guide, as long as you just stick with Him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we come before you this morning with hearts broken, knowing that there's nothing in us that can please you except for those things that you have placed in us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Our salvation because of Jesus. Our righteousness given to us by Christ. The peace from above that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus is also a gift from you, Lord. We thank you for all this, Lord, and we pray that today, looking at this mother that came before you with so much faith and so much persistence, so much boldness, and with such a broken heart and contrite heart, she received what she sought for. She heard the words that you gave her, "Great is thy faith, O woman." Father, I pray that we can hear these words also, not just the mothers in this place, but everyone that calls himself or herself a disciple of Christ. That you look upon our lives and you teach us lessons and you guide us in our steps in such a way that one day we can all hear these words, great is your faith. Father, I thank you that today we looked at our heart once more and we are drawn closer to you, Lord. And help us as we step out from this church, from this building, to go away to our homes, encouraged to put our faith to practice and to come boldly before you with our requests. Come humbly before you with our requests. And even if you're silent for a day or for a season, even though we don't hear or see your response right away, Father, may our faith still be strong because of you, because of your truth, because of what we know. Because we know you, actually. So I pray today, Lord, that you would increase our faith. Help us to honor you, Lord, with our life today and every single day until we see you face to face. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.